Did Stephen Pearl understand the assignment or what? He is building big things with the roster. And is the offensive line okay? We're going to start there because, Zach, that's the comment that we got probably more than belated birthday stuff, other than belated birthday stuff, which I appreciate. Thank you, everybody.
Yeah, I hope you felt loved.
Yeah, I did. I did. I always feel love with this group. I love this show. This audience is tremendous. We know that. But aside from that, the comment we got most, because we did a segment about guys who maybe you wanted to see more, maybe you hoped you'd get more out of them on a day. Most of those were offensive line oriented. So I ask, is the offensive line okay? What is your level of concern about the offensive line now that spring practice has come and gone?
Yeah, I mean, I've said it other places. I think I said it here yesterday. Like, until you see what Stanton Ramil adds, I think it's an incomplete. If you take that out and just act like the offensive line is four people, I'm okay with it. But we know tackles are important. You can't just find tackles. And, you know, I do think there were some questions about Ramil at Michigan State. I said that when we got him. It's like, okay. Curious to see what this looks like. Then they added Joe Simmons a little bit later. I'm like, okay, this makes a little bit more sense. You know, there's a few people that really hate when I say this, but like, I would much rather see Ramil at right tackle than Joe Simmons. I'd keep Joe Simmons where he's at, but we'll see how they put guys, move guys around once everybody's healthy.
How much do you put into Cole Best not having the best spring game? I mean, Golish talked about some of his snaps were to the side and, you know, just not the best. Not the best. It's not kind of what you wanted to see from the guy that's going to be your starting center. Now, it's spring, so, like, I kind of want to put that caveat, too. Like, I don't know that it's necessarily reason to freak out because it's the spring game. And they have all the confidence that you would want to have in him as the center.
So yeah, I think Kyle Rush said it best, Brad. If it was anybody other than Cole Best, it might be more of a concern. But
yeah,
knowing Cole, he's probably snapping 2,000 times a night before he goes to bed just because of what he did on Saturday with those few bad snaps. So I'm not worried about it. You know, Golish certainly seemed shocked, surprised by it in the post game. So to me, I'm just not. If it was somebody other than Cole,
yeah.
Maybe, but no. And look, this is part of why you do a spring game. We always talk about the negatives of it. Yeah. You know, Golish kind of talked about the positives of it. It's like some of these guys needed to play in front of people, be a little nervous, let there feel like there's a little bit of stakes as far as pride goes.
Yeah.
That's good. That's good. And so now, you know, some of these guys know, okay, I need to work on this over the summer. I don't have any concern.
All right.
With that, I have a few concerns about the offensive line, but Cole Best snapping is not one of them.
So is it safe to say your level of concern over the first five, assuming Stanton is healthy in the fall, is like a 1 out of 10? Like, you're not terribly concerned first five? Is it more depth related once you go beyond
that? No, I wouldn't agree with that. No, okay. I think I have questions about Skinner. You know, wasn't a full-time starter at USF last year.
Okay.
I think there's, you know, some questions on translating or not there. And look, like, I love Cole Best more than anybody, but can he, you know, can any of these guys handle, you know, the brutal gauntlet that is the SEC? None of them have done it. Ramil's done the closest thing with the Big Ten, and he's kind of gotten injured throughout the way. So, yeah, no, I've got a ton of questions about the starters, but none of them can be answered. None of them can be answered until the season starts.
So it's kind of like a not worth losing a lot of sleep over right now.
I think it makes sense, right? Yeah. Like, I think, you know, we all kind of critiqued, and I think we critiqued it at different levels regarding every portal edition and roster edition that they had. And at the time, it's like, okay, does this make sense? And look, I'll say what I said at the start of the portal window: get all the South Florida guys you want, but let's try to stay away from the trench guys. And you're going to probably start two of those trench guys. Like, I think there are questions that come with that. It's not that they can't answer it. And I don't know if concern is the right word. It's just probably the position group I have the least confidence in.
Okay. All right.
Because of the questions.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. No, I think that's reasonable. I think that's fair. I think they have a lot of trust in the offensive line coach. Like I saw some conversation about net positive versus last year. Like if you took the talent on the offensive line last year versus this year, it's a different discussion. But if you take the talent plus the scheme plus the coaching last year and stack it against the talent plus the scheme plus the coaching, maybe even the escapability of the quarterback last year versus this year too, and how the quarterback fits into the scheme.
Yeah, well, everything should be faster for sure. Noah, I mean, a scheme, your job as a coach is to create a scheme and a system that puts your players in situations to win. And this offense does that. You know, talking to folks who covered Golish, you know, his offense when he was at Tennessee, it's like, you know, they keep saying over and over and over again, like, you know, obviously you want linemen, but they didn't have any elite offensive linemen at Tennessee running that system.
Yeah.
You know, you didn't see the NFL clamoring for, you know, offensive linemen from South Florida over the last few years, despite the offense being successful. This offense is a little different than what we're used to. And we kind of saw a glimpse of it on Saturday. Some of it's tempo. Some of it is just how they really spread you out and stretch you out and capitalize on matchups on the perimeter, yep, which is a little unusual. Unusual as in, like, you don't see it. Not unusual as that almost sounds negative, but I don't mean it that way. But to say all that, like, you nailed it with the scheme thing. Like, the talent discussion from last year to this year, it's different, and across the board, it's probably a step down, but it doesn't matter. That's irrelevant because they didn't use the talent correctly. And so now you have guys that are handpicked by one of the most picky talent evaluators that I've ever heard of. And Golish thinks these are the guys that he wants to run a system. And at this point, he's given us no reason not to trust him on that.
Yeah. I like that point, and it's probably worth fleshing it out a little more, but that may get a little too far down in the weeds. I'll just say this, though. They're picky, and the pool from which they pick is much larger. Now, maybe year one in the portal, I don't know if it's – but the scouting department, what kind is that?
Strawberry Blast.
What is that? Is that like a Starburst flavor?
So it was given to me by a listener of our show Saturday. He brought a nice goodie bag. It was a bunch of pink Starbursts, and it was the pink Sour Patch, and then this. And so I haven't tried this. We're going to try it real quick.
Okay. We're going to try. By the way, I'll let you do your review first. I'll let you get through it. All right. What do we think? Strawberry C4. I'm going
almost like tropical. Pink lemonade vibes.
Yeah.
Which isn't bad.
Sure. Not strawberry.
It's not pink strawberry.
It's not strawberry lemonade. It's pink.
No, it very much tastes like pink for sure.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's like the Dave Chappelle comedy routine about grape drink. He said, I don't want juice. I won't drink. It's sugar, water, and of course, purple. It's a flavor.
Yep.
So call the paramedics, because my little note about the scout just got absolutely T-boned, just completely.
Your note about what?
The scouting department.
Ahead. I'm sorry.
I'm going into this thing about how they're really picky, but they're evaluating everybody. Let's say we're used to a pool of we're going to look at 10 guys and choose one. Now they're scouting 25 compared to the previous 10. And so they're picky, and the pool from which they're picking is much bigger. They're that thorough. That's what happens when you have a thorough, detail-oriented coach. It's not just about running onto the field the right way and the wrong way,
right,
and noticing that and being upset about that. It's also, let's make sure we evaluate everybody out there that's possible to evaluate. I've talked to two different people who work on this staff that are in the scouting department, and they're like, we've worked other places. We've never seen this level of scouting and how thorough it is and the number of guys we're looking at. It reminded me of this.
And they'll sit down with guys that everyone else in college football loves, and they're like, I don't think you'll work here. And I think just having the confidence to do that is something the previous staff would not have done. And, you know, we'll see to the level of which they're doing it, if it works or not. But once again, like, he had a plan day one. He is stuck to that plan. And so I'm not going to criticize him.
Nope, he believes in it. Reminds me of the scene in Moneyball where Brad Pitt's like, I ask you to do three. And he's like, how many did you do? 47. I ask you to do three. You're like, yeah. I actually did 51. I'm not sure why I lied.
Yeah, I don't know why I lied there. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, then what I thought you were going to say, the scene in Moneyball when, you know, it's, well, the trade deadline's there and he's like trying to do all these deals and all of these are crazy. And, you know, he's like,
yeah,
a lot of these are pretty unexplainable. And he's like, well, who do we need to explain ourselves to? Like, do you believe it's going to work? Does, you know, so-and-so project to more? And he's like, yeah. Like, then what are we doing here?
Yeah. That's a great point. Oh, I'd never thought about that connection before. That's true. It's a problem. You think we need to explain ourselves,
right?
I feel like that is Golish's mind. Hey, let's do an Iron Bowl period. Let's do some of this other stuff. Let's sweat the details of running onto the field this way or that way. We don't have to explain that to anybody. This is the way we do things.
Right.
Good point. Okay. Speaking of changing philosophies, that basketball roster is going to look awfully different next year.
It's going to look like downtown Auburn.
Yeah. Growing taller and taller and taller. Let's talk about that after we tell everybody about Roback, roback.com, R-H-O-B-A-C-K, Roback hoodies, Roback polos,
yes,
Roback quarter zips, yes. Running shorts. I even have running shorts are very popular from Roback. You get 20% off everything using
the promo. Oh, look, I'm Brad. I run really far. 20. I need specific running shorts from Roback. Look
do
at me.
You want to look good and feel good, or do you just not care? You just not care. Roback.com. So, honest to goodness, I had a friend's wife reach out to me over the weekend and be like,
wow, okay.
It's about Roback.
Oh, all right.
Does Roback make running shirts? Because the ones he's running in now stink. They stink up the laundry room. They hold the smell.
Yeah.
And I need some different ones. And
did you tell her, I don't know, go to the website?
No.
Go to roback.com and look?
No, I said, yes, they do. And go to roback.com and look.
Got it.
So that's the way we did that. Okay, big movement day yesterday for the basketball roster. Owen Freeman, former Big Ten Freshman of the Year at Iowa, who was coached by Matt Gaetens, who's now on the Auburn staff, when he was Big Ten Freshman of the Year. Spent last year at Creighton. And now he's coming to Auburn. He's going to reunite with Matt Gaetens here. And Thomas Dowd from Troy, a two-year starter, three-year big-time contributor, double-double average, another 6'10 guy. So Auburn brought in a ton of size yesterday. As a result, I think directly of those additions, Sebastian Williams Adams, who has a ton of upside down the road, said, I am not staying. In fact, I am headed to the transfer portal. So two in, one out yesterday for next year's roster.
Yeah, definitely see an intentional effort from Stephen Pearl and the staff to add some size. That was a big issue at certain points throughout the season. You got to think with the additions that they have made, they do not want to deal with that again.
Yeah.
Multiple seven-footers on the roster, several guys that are 6'10 plus. How many guys is that 6'10 plus? Is it five?
Four or five now, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it depends on what Oporum does. Like, can Emeka Oporum be
– right.
Yeah, what's he going to be next year? I don't know. It actually, I guess, would be 3 7-footers because Narcisse Ngoi is also – yeah, so that's three guys if Oporum is back and able to do something. So,
yeah.
Wow. Which puts both Freeman – and Dowd at the four. Dowd is more, for those who aren't familiar, you've not been following kind of the roster, and Dowd is more the proven commodity. He started almost every game at Troy over the last 2 years and went to back-to-back NCAA tournaments. Double-double guy. So he can shoot, he can rebound, he can block shots, he can do a little bit of everything. Freeman is fast.
You might could put him at the three as well in certain situations. Yeah.
You could, yeah. You could have Tahad, K, KO, and then 6-10, 6-10, 7-1 on the floor at the same time.
Bunch of large players, and then Tahad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and look, I don't want to get too down in the weeds because there are people who can talk tactically about basketball better than I can. But I think back to the success Auburn had with Wendell Green Jr. and Walker Kessler and the pick and roll lob game. And when you have that much size on the floor offensively, that allows you to do that. And if you have another 6'10 guy that can play on the wing and Kevin Overton on the wing, it's tough for a team to defend that style of offense consistently, because when you help, somebody's open and you're creating a mismatch at a couple of different points on the floor.
Well, let's go back to Dahad's freshman year. I mean, mm-hmm. How many times did we say, oh my goodness, how did he find Jani Broome down there?
Yeah.
I mean, Tahad benefited from Jani Broome a ton. So now you get to hope that some of these big guys can benefit from Tahad, choosing to come back to Auburn.
Can they move? Can they catch? How are their feet? How are their hands? And I think in this case, both of these guys, Freeman and Dowd, have good feet and good hands. The big question is Freeman. I think this is the most interesting one because I think it's the one with the most upside. He was Big Ten Freshman of the Year at Iowa. He had a knee injury in May of last year. So after he transferred out to Creighton, he had a knee injury, and he was only able to play about 12 minutes a game. Still got 4 rebounds in 12 minutes a game. So if you get a rebound every 3 minutes and you're playing almost 30 minutes a game, if you're healthy, that's outstanding. Now you can dominate the glass. And so, again, if he's 100%, he gives you a ton. And if he's not, and he gives you 12 minutes and 4 rebounds a game, okay, I think you take that.
So it certainly seems like the Dowd decision and the Sway decisions were connected. Do you think they added Dowd because they knew Sway was leaving, or do you think Sway left because of the Dowd addition?
I think it's the latter. I think Sway left because of the Dowd decision. And I think it came down to, if we have a chance to get Dowd, who would we rather have? Would we rather have Thomas Dowd in 26-27, or would we rather have Sway in the 26-27 season? And I think Sway has tremendous upside, but I think you can't construct a roster for 3 years or 2 years down the road.
No,
you construct every roster for the next season. And I think if it's either or, Dowd is the right call. I think we'll find out, but that's what I think they did.
I mean, there's a pretty, so I read a scouting report from a national analyst, no ties. In fact, in the past, maybe have even been a little tough on Auburn. And they were talking about how Dowd, unquestionably, if you watch any Sunbelt games, like, it's very clear who the best player in the conference was. Like, there is no debate.
Yeah.
Which is great. And like, there's a pretty solid track record of these guys who dominate these, you know, non-P4 conferences, mm-hmm. and they get a chance at a larger school, and like, the track record's pretty consistent and pretty solid, pretty safe.
Yep.
And I think that's like, you take safe with upside, with 6'10 athletic ability, and just the local too. Like, I think it's going to be a guy that the fan base really likes.
Yeah. From Dope. Yep.
Yeah. So what's not to like about this? Very exciting.
I agree. And I mentioned offensively, I think it's worth mentioning defensively what size allows you to do. And again, others may be able to talk about it more detail, but that was a weak point for Auburn, especially around the perimeter. And now with more size on the floor, your closeouts become more effective. Being able to show off of a switch defensively, show and recover on help side, is more effective now with more size. Opposing guards see that length, like the space that they see at floor level is less. It's cut off.
I mean, you know what happens to the space?
What?
Is it's closed down.
That's good. How about the, like, we got the Dow Jones in financial lingo. Now we've got the Dowd the doubt is up or the doubt is down. We'll watch that throughout the year.
Yeah.
That's not, yep. I'm not proud of that. Okay. I am proud of buyauburn.com though. And if you haven't checked that out, please do use the service, you know, like, go support the businesses that support Auburn. And if you are a business and you have Auburn ties, yes, you need to sign up so people can check you out very on buyauburn.com.
Right. And we'll talk about you on this very show as well.
That's right.
For all the folks over at buyauburn.com.
Are you pulling one up right now? Are you going to go feature someone?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, let's see. Let's see what we got. So this one's fun. This one's out in Kyle's talked about this one before. Okay. Jack Arse Rentals. They rent quality construction equipment at reasonable prices, great rates, great service, and a flexible option. So you can head over and to go to buyauburn.com and see that. You can see the owner. The owner is John Brannon. He's got his email and his phone number and his website all right there. So pretty cool beautiful opportunity. So if you need anything in that industry, head over and check him out, buyauburn.com.
Yeah. We love the site. It's like a really specific business directory. And it's catching on. And if you're a business owner, by the way, there is a perk where you can get involved early and get a discount. Let us know if you're interested in that. Reach out to us and we'll help you get started at buyauburn.com.
Yeah, I think we got something for like the first 50 people.
Yeah.
So. Cool. Awesome.
There you go.
Awesome. And
off we go. Hey, baseball in Birmingham tonight at the Hoover Met. 6 o'clock against Samford. Love to get a big Birmingham crowd. We know the show's big in Birmingham, so would love to see you.
Yep. That it?
That's it.
I have an embarrassing movie fact, but I wasn't going to... I don't know if I should... You're going to get so mad at me.
You should 100% bring it. What's your embarrassing movie fact?
The children were crazy yesterday, so my wife was like, can't wait to put them down. I'm just going to watch a movie. I'm like, cool, great.
Okay. All right.
I'm still doing some work. I go down. I didn't recognize the movie. And apparently it was a classic that I should have recognized. And she's like, you've never seen this? And I watched it for like 2 or 3 minutes. I'm like, yeah, honey, I have no clue what this is. And she's like, you should know it. And then she said it, and I'm like, I recognized it, but I had to look it up. I didn't think it was as big of a movie as she was talking about. And then I looked it up, and I'm like, oh, okay. Yeah, I'm going to talk about this with Brad tomorrow, and he's going to give me a hard time.
Varsity Blues.
The movie was Mrs. Doubtfire.
Oh, okay. Very good. Yes.
Yeah. She thought I was crazy for never seeing it.
Oh, I don't know. I mean, you would have been very young.
It came out the year I was born. I think it came out in 93.
Yeah, that's what I thought. I don't think that's crazy that you haven't seen it.
Okay.
I don't think it's totally crazy.
Okay. I totally lobbed up an opportunity for you to just dunk on me, and you didn't do it, and I appreciate that.
I appreciate that movie a whole lot more now than I did when I was a kid and watched it. Like, to watch it from Robin Williams' perspective,
yeah,
have kids, especially if you're divorced and have kids, like it's a whole different perspective than when I was a kid watching it.
Right.
But, no, that's good. My sister and I quote that movie sometimes with each other. Did you see the box them and ship them scene? You box them, you ship them, and you take those boxes, you box those up, you ship those. Any questions? And he goes, after you box them, you ship them. Lots of luck, smart, you know? So we'll have a little fun with that every now and then.
Okay. All right. I'm trying to think of a situation where you would need to quote that, but all right.
Just a random laugh.
Got it.
Look, that's how my sister and I operate. We just randomly quote movie lines to each other.
Well, I'd rather you talk to your sister than talk to Matt.
I understand.
That's for sure. Matt trying to like bridge the gap with me, saying we have some things in common. Don't love that.
Let me mention that. I don't need that in my life.
No,
I'm going to bring you guys together. We're going to have a summit. It's going to be the Matt and Zach, or the Zach and Matt summit.
And the Zach and Matt summit for sure.
You both have children named Charlie. Come on.
A lot of people. So when we named our oldest Charlotte, we thought we were being clever. And there's like literally like three, I'm not exaggerating, there's three other Charlottes in her class right now.
Do they go by Charlie?
Some go by Charlie and some go by Charlotte.
Okay. All right. Yeah. I think Charlie's a pretty cute girl's name. Like that's a cute name for a daughter, I think.
No, a lot of people thought that. So it's fine. But we both have children with the same name as well.
That's true. Yeah, we both have a Lydia.
We do.
That's right.
We do. This is what happens when you have so many kids. So
yeah, you got kids with the same name as a lot of people. That's right.
It's just a numbers game at that point. Yeah.
You're gonna run out of names soon.
That's right. We're actually having to start to make some new ones up. So
you're like my dad's parents. So my dad's name is BT. That's it. That's his name. He has no middle name and it doesn't stand for anything. It's just two letters. And I joke that like, and he's, you know, he was the youngest of the group. So like once they got to him, they were out of names.
Yeah.
They were out of names and just like, what do you got left? I don't know. Pick a couple letters.
Yeah. Yeah. No, if we have another one, that's what we'll do. We'll just pick two letters for sure. Or Drake May. One of the two.
Drake May. If y'all have a boy next, that will be the name. It'll be Drake May Blackerby. You just go ahead and get your stencils ready.
Yep. Yep. All right. That does it for today's show.
Thanks everybody for watching and listening. Remember, until next time, everyone has vices. Make sure Village Vice is one of yours.